Letters.
On VAT, Spain, UNRWA, electric cars, tuition fees and working lunches.
The VAT Trap.
From Martin Jacob, Professor of Accounting and Control, IESE Business School, Barcelona. Raising value-added tax, or VAT, can indeed be a good way to raise revenues, but such a policy shift is not without potentially damaging side effects that government should bear in mind. Article The Case for VAT, September 28. One important side effect is the impact that increases in the tax can have on corporate investment if shareholders demand more dividends to fund their now more costly consumption. This VAT trap is more marked in countries with a relatively short-term culture, such as America, Australia, and Britain. When shareholders value their current consumption more than that of future generations, investments go down when VAT goes up. In countries with a more long-term culture, such as Germany, Japan, and South Korea, VAT does not distort investments as much. In these places, a rise in VAT can be a good solution. What is a good alternative for short-term oriented countries? A slight increase in the personal income tax on wages, especially on those earning higher incomes, might help raise revenues without doing too much harm to the economy. It is, however, important to raise the tax rate only moderately to avoid giving an incentive to those worst affected by such a move to pack their bags and leave.
How it works in Spain.
From Alejandro Guerrero, Paris. The minority coalition government led by Pedro Sánchez in Spain has certainly required negotiation and compromise with regional parties. But to imply that this erodes democracy is an extraordinary leap. Article, In Office but Not Wholly in Power, October 5th. The deal with Catalan and Basque nationalists, though contentious, is a pragmatic response to Spain's decentralised political landscape and a common practice since 1993, not a Machiavellian betrayal. Even José María Aznar, a former Conservative Prime Minister, had to pretend in 1996 that he spoke Catalan in intimate groups just for the sake of parliamentarian arithmetic. Yes, Mr. Sánchez's amnesty and fiscal promises have sparked debate. However, they were passed through Spain's democratic institutions, following the rule of law and regular procedures. Describing these decisions as constitutional backdoor dealings, while ignoring their legal and parliamentary foundations, is a selective reading of events. One might wonder whether the real issue here is not the fragility of democracy, but the discomfort with regional politics that has long been part of Spain's DNA. You did point out the bigger picture, a recovering economy, improved employment figures, and a political opposition still mired in fragmentation. Surely Spain deserves a more nuanced analysis than a gothic narrative of democratic doom, and the caricature of Mr. Sánchez as a power-hungry operator.
Wither UNRWA.
From Joel Eisen, Richmond Hill, Canada. Philippe Lanzarini, the head of UNRWA, the UN's Agency for Palestinians, was appallingly selective in his empathy, article by invitation, October 2nd. Not a word about the murdered, tortured, raped, mutilated and kidnapped Israeli victims, nor about the tens of thousands of Israelis who have had to evacuate their homes under the torrents of rockets launched by Hamas and Hezbollah. No reference to Hamas's own indifference to the loss of Palestinian life caused by the deliberate embedding of Hamas terrorists in homes, schools, mosques, and indeed in UNRWA's facilities. The tragic loss of Palestinian life in this war is a central and cynical tactic used by Hamas. Selective empathy is a problem. UNRWA is part of a UN framework that uniquely and perversely fosters the eternality of Palestinian refugee status.
EVs will not rule the road.
From Matthias Giannini, Chief Executive Officer, Horse Powertrain, London. Global sales of hybrid cars are destined to decline, you said, because of improvements in electric vehicles that run purely on battery, or BEVs. Article on a Detour, September 21st. However, hybrids and BEVs are competing for the same mobility niches. Some 95% of electric vehicle sales worldwide are in America, China, or the European Union, and concentrated in the densest and most urbanized parts of those markets. The mobility needs and infrastructure capacity of these areas differ dramatically from those of rural economies and the global south. For the latter, hybrids and internal combustion engines are going to be essential for decades to come in order to provide high-range transit that can maintain critical rural-urban links. Mobility providers should not focus on a single technology or energy solution. Rather, they need to reflect on not only what consumers need, but on whether the local market itself has the infrastructure to support those needs. The industry has to shift away from the idea that one size fits all. To decarbonize a diverse world, we need a mix of technologies. More efficient hybrids will be one important decarbonizing solution, along with innovations in synthetic and alternative fuels. There is no such thing as a global, universal mobility solution.
What colleges should learn?
From Dr. Richard Milburn, War Studies, King's College London. Raising university tuition fees in Britain, article Universities Challenged, September 21st, would fail to tackle the need for more fundamental changes in the higher education sector. Universities are still largely analogue services in a digital age, with an outmoded model of instruction that has barely changed in decades. Individual lecturers develop and deliver modules for small classes, a highly inefficient process. Higher education's blockbuster Netflix moment is fast approaching. A radical change in universities' operating model brought about by the economies of scale provided by digital technology. Universities should be looking at how they can work together to build high-quality hybrid offerings. Call this the WeLearn model, an artificial intelligence-enabled teaching available to all students that provides a wide range of courses, skills training, and applied learning. All this combined with the social experience of campus life. Britain is in a strong position to capitalize on this opportunity and shape a better future for higher education. What the sector needs is innovation, not fee inflation.
Bon déjeuner.
From Jem Eskenazi, London. Clearly, Bartleby never had a working lunch in a meeting room in France. Article, September 28th. I have had many, and I can assure you that two things are guaranteed. Superb catered food that is devoured by everyone, and French colleagues loudly complaining that working during lunch is barbaric.